right. Good evening, everybody. How you all doing? It is Monday night, April 3rd, 2023. I'm tired. We had a monstrous weekend of pro wrestling from NXT, Stand and Deliver, WrestleMania 39, Night 1, Night 2. And, you know, remember what I said going into WrestleMania, if you could take two or three matches out of each show and matches that you'll remember years from now, you hit a home run. You go to any WrestleMania from yesteryear, you talk about WrestleMania 3, everybody talks about two matches. You talk about WrestleMania 13, people talk about one match. You talk about WrestleMania 2000, you think of one or two matches. So I think we definitely got more than we could have expected. And wow, the Raw after WrestleMania started hot, finished hot. In the middle, kind of feels like everybody was a little bit tired, even the creative department. So I am here tonight to give you a recap of the Raw after WrestleMania 39. We will also talk about a couple of little tidbits coming out of yesterday. We're not doing any WrestleMania recap just yet because remember, yes, I know, quick plug. I think this plug is worth it. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, yours truly and Kevin Castle bring back the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show once again. Not only are we going to review WrestleMania night one and two, we're also going to review aspects of the Raw after WrestleMania, where things go from here, the road to Backlash, and who knows, maybe we'll actually talk a little bit about the merger that is coming up between WWE and the parent company of UFC Endeavor. M&T. That ring a bell for all of you out there? Yeah, I think it definitely rings a bell. Do you remember this episode? Oh, I remember it clearly. January 7th, 2023. The boss is back. We spent the whole episode talking about Vince McMahon's return, what he was going to do, what he was not going to do, what people were going to clickbait and insist that he was doing. But most importantly, we were talking about the WWE sale, but we preferred to focus on something we called MNT, which stands for Merger and Acquisition. And that is exactly what is going down with WWE. Triple H on Raw tonight coming out, giving a speech to the WWE Universe, pretty similar to what he said behind the scenes to the roster earlier today. Another meeting will be done Friday, by the way. Little sausage, but you know everybody's going to write their exclusive. Yeah, my sources tell me that Triple H, WWE is not changing all that much. In fact, I got news for you. Do not discount the possibility of WWE becoming TV-14. I almost said PG. Remember when everybody, remember all that clickbait? TV-14. No, it's going to happen next week. No, it's going to happen in a month. No, it's going to happen. Never happened. Man, they struck out so many times. And listen, I don't want to shit on anybody's parade tonight that's doing shows. But since the beginning of January, this show and all of you out there, we've been talking about M&T, merger and acquisition. Everybody else was talking about sale. Tony Khan may buy it. Yeah, sure. He's going to empty out his bank. I don't even think he's that stupid. They're going to empty out their bank account to nothing to buy WWE. Saudi Arabia, with all due respect, you know, that was never going to happen. I think it came down to a handful of companies. And, yeah, we'll get into it in a little bit. So, but I will tell you this much. Do not expect me to give you a detailed step-by-step of every little aspect about the stock and all this other stuff, you know, because a lot of it we've already discussed. I will give you a synopsis of it and what will happen in the immediate future. I will tell you this much. This merger is going to happen, as they say in Espanol, rapido. It is going to be super, super fast. And the reason being is that it is a merger, an acquisition. So this is not like outlets where they like people could come in and object. Now, you know, you're going to get those law firms every year or two. They sue WWE. It's the same suspects. No sites will tell you that. A simple little research, 10 minutes of research, you realize. It's like two law firms out there. Every year or two, they sue WWE for unfair practices and all. Because you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to find the right formula where WWE's like, just cut them a check. Tell them let's settle. Nah, WWE, man, just like MLW, we ain't settling with those motherfuckers. You know, we're going to fight them to the end. You got that kind of money like that, as Paul Heyman said tonight to Cody Rhodes. That is called holding the cards. So, you know, this is going to go through pretty quickly. The board of directors for Endeavor and WWE have already approved this. That is huge. Plus, when you listen, if you own WWE stock, read the press release as far as what's going down and look at how much they're purchasing the stock for. People are really, listen, the only people who are going to be triggered by this is the internet wrestling community. Because Mr. McMahon, now we can't use this photo anymore. We cannot use this photo anymore because, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know what was funny about it? A lot of people think that the motherfucker looks like me now. I mean, go figure. I know we got a Vince McMahon picture somewhere over here, but the motherfucker looks like me, Vince McMahon, complete with the mustache. I gotta pull up a Vince McMahon picture with the mustache. Listen, I gotta be honest with you. When I saw the picture of him, here it is. Everybody's like, TT, that's you. He's just not fat. Go figure that I cut my hair a little bit too short. Listen, I'm going to let my hair grow long. I'm going to let it grow long, and then I'm going to grease it back, and then I'm going to trim my mustache so it looks like a pussy landing strip. And I'm telling you, I'm going to look like a fat version of Vince McMahon. And then I'm going to sit here and go, shut up! Hey, the motherfucker is 80 years old. Of course, he's going to have wrinkles and more chins in a Chinese restaurant. But you know what I noticed more than anything? Fuck the mustache. But it is kind of funny because it does look like they went to the barbershop that Carmelo Hayes attends. And somebody was like, look at the mustache closely. Look at the right side. It would be, oh, if you're looking on the screen, look at the left side of the mustache. It almost looks like somebody was trimming it nicely, and then the phone rang, and it went. It's like, I'm telling you, it looks like a landing strip. Seriously, it's almost like some chick out there that might have been bald, or maybe Vince is like, I'm into landing strips, and maybe somebody like glued a landing strip down in their private part, and Vince went down there, and he came back up to get a break, and it was that's what it looks like. But you know what I noticed more than anything? My friends, the dye job. I didn't see one place out there talking about his Just for Men. He kind of looks like the non-Latino version of Keith Hernandez. Look at the Just for Men job. The hair dye, the mustache dye. The motherfucker dyed his hair more than anything. I was looking at it and I was like, the hell with the landing strip mustache. This guy dyed his hair. That was, I don't know, man. Questionable dye job. Questionable dye job. By the way, for everybody who's joining me, little announcement. Don't forget, we're going to do it next week. I promised you, we deliver. I wanted to spoil it online, but I was told you can't. You can't. But, you know, I talked to two or three of my friends tonight. They know who they are. Matt Riddle was making his Raw return tonight. By the way, Matt Riddle's girlfriend lives in the vicinity of where WWE was tonight, and Matt Riddle made his return, pretty much beat up The Miz. They will have a match next week, and remember what we promised. Next week on this show, we are going to do a Matt Riddle giveaway. Three prizes will go to one person. You will get a signed photo of Matt Riddle. It is JSA authenticated. You'll also get this Matt Riddle WWE rookie card that is graded 9.5. First of all, I think the autograph is 9.5, and I think the card is 10. See, 10? 10? That's not Sean Spears. Somebody's going to get that rookie card, and I'm not going to put it on. Well, you know what? Fuck it. I will put it on. Somebody's going to get the autographed Matt Riddle hat. It is JSA authenticated also. So next week on this show, someone is going to win the hat, the card, and the photo. And you could also thank, you know, Matt Riddle for that and Misha Montana. Shout out to both of them. Hope they're doing well. I came this close of getting Matt Riddle on this show for Forbidden Door. Problem was, he was not returning at WrestleMania. If he would have returned prior to WrestleMania, we would have had a conversation. But remember, the original plans was for him to get into it with Solo Sikoa. Remember the storyline, who took him out originally, Solo Sikoa. Not as obviously a change in plans because of the storyline. And by the way, before I go any further, I don't think I'm way off on this. And I swear to you, what I'm going to say tonight, I really, truly believe, this is not clickbait, this is not exaggeration, I truly believe that a majority of you out there are going to say, holy shit, Don Tony, I think you're on to something big. Seriously. It's an overall summary, but you ever have brainstorms when you're sleeping? You ever hear when people say, like, if you wake up and you thought of something, always write it down, because you'll wake up the next day and you'll completely forget about that. That is one of the things that I could honestly say, because of my laziness, I never do often. I get these wild brainstorms while I'm sleeping, and I'll wake up and I'll be like, holy shit, and I don't write it down. And then the next day, I totally forget about it, and I'm like this. I'm like, come on, remember, it was big. Sometimes I jot it down, but most of the times I don't. I think there is a legit term called sleep storming. I think that's what it is, when you brainstorm while you sleep. And I truly believe that some of our greatest brainstorming happens while you sleep. And I'm going to throw it out there right now. All right. This is not news. We don't do we do talk about news here, but, you know, I'm not a journalist. I opine. I give you my opinions, my reactions, my analysis. But last night, watching WrestleMania 39, Cody Rhodes losing. When we did predictions, Kev and I, last week, I predicted Cody Rhodes winning. But one thing that Kevin Castle was actually changing my mind about, and you can check out last week's prediction show, it's right there. He predicted Roman Reigns. And the reason why he predicted Roman Reigns is because he feels WWE needs him or wants Roman Reigns to get to 1,000 days. My friends, I tweeted. None of the bigwigs out there will retweet it, won't post it because someone else put it out there. But little tidbit to keep in the back of your mind, what date does Roman Reigns reach 1,000 days? He reaches 1,000 days on May 27th, 2023. Why is that date important? Well, that just happens to be the same day as King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. You think of $10 million per event deals, WWE in Saudi Arabia, his 1,000th day happens the same day as King and Queen of the Ring. Now, that is still almost 2 months away. It is still almost 2 months away. Cody Rhodes wants a rematch. Now, like I said, we're not going to talk too much about this now because Kevin and I, tomorrow when we get into WrestleMania, we'll talk about backlash and everything, but this will lead to something else. But Cody Rhodes wants a rematch. Right now, Roman Reigns says no. And Brock Lesnar turning tonight is great, because everybody was reporting earlier that Brock Lesnar, you know, that's it. WrestleMania against Omos, he did what he had to do. Now he's going to disappear for a while. Oh, fuck that. Not just yet. Cody Rhodes, the bump in the road, and that is a huge bump. he is going to have to deal with a beast for the next bunch of weeks. Will it incorporate a storyline with UFC? I doubt it. I don't see that at all. I was joking earlier today that I can imagine some assholes out there reporting that WWE changed their mind about Cody Rhodes because of now with them merging with UFC, that Conor McGregor will fight Roman Reigns because Conor McGregor recently told Paul Heyman to shut the fuck up, otherwise I'll break your jaw. Cody Rhodes losing yesterday. I was a little bit baffled by it. Obviously, the WWE Universe in droves hate it. The most hilarious thing about it was when Triple H did the recap yesterday, the press conference, Triple H said something that Kevin and I said last week on the predictions, that I said the week before, and I think we even joked about it on the NXT Stand and Deliver when we were going off the air. Sami Zayn, when he lost at Elimination Chamber, Sami Zayn went on SmackDown the following week, and Sami Zayn said, you know, I didn't finish the story, because in WWE you never finish the story. Anybody remember that? We talked about it a few times. WWE picked up on that and said, ooh, we like that. We use it for Cody Rhodes. So Triple H yesterday, go Google the news outlet. People are writing Triple H gives bizarre reason why, wait. Bizarre reason. Because the story never ends. Just chapters keep adding. Episodic television. I mean, it's kind of funny that, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. I still went to bed last night wondering, like, the story was perfect. Finish the story. I fell asleep around 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not bullshitting you. I woke up and I was like, oh, fuck. And I started jotting things down. And it has to do with this. And I fell back asleep. I woke up this morning and I had this smile on my face from ear to ear. I had to go online and I had to look. My friends, since Triple H has been in WWE Creative, the head of it, we have seen a big shift in the bloodline storyline, where Roman Reigns has pretty much been like the leader, and we have Solo Sikoa now. Because remember, Solo Sikoa, you know, September 3rd, I got married. I went on my honeymoon 2 weeks later, middle of September, and I was at NXT when Solo Sikoa showed up and won the North American Championship. So Solo Sikoa in the bloodline has only been since really late September, October, November, December, January, February, March, about 6 months. So we see this substantial shift in the bloodline storyline in the last 6 months. Sami Zayn being introduced to it. Solo Sikoa, as they always call him, the enforcer to it. My friends, who does Triple H beloved? Chat room, I need your help with this one. Who does Triple H beloved? You see in NXT, Shawn Michaels refurbishing his storylines from the middle 90s for Roxanne Perez. Thank you, Kevin Milwaukee. He beloves the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. My friends, I will never do this on Twitter. I will break my knuckles. I will put them in battery acid. I will put them through a chopped meat machine before I do it. I will never type the words, hear me out. But my friends, I truly believe that Triple H shifting the bloodline is inspired by the Four Horsemen, managed by J.J. Dillon. Hear me out. Roman Reigns is Ric Flair, the enforcer. You can mix and match any way you want. Arn Anderson was always the enforcer. But when they had Ole Anderson was technically the enforcer. You had Tully and Arn, which was one of the greatest tag teams, and that's the Usos. And you got Solo Sikoa, and J.J. Dillon is pretty much Paul Heyman. Let me go further. Why did Cody Rhodes lose yesterday? I had to refresh my memory. Ric Flair versus dusty roads. My friends, how many times in 26, 27 years doing hotlines, podcasts, webcast here, have I said Dusty Rhodes is not one of the greatest NWA heavyweight champions of all time because he only carried the belt a couple of weeks combined, maybe 90 days combined of all of his reigns. He was the greatest chasing for the title. And Cody Rhodes winning the first time around would have been so not Dusty Rhodes. Who was Dusty Rhodes' biggest foe and catalyst? And I started doing some research, and I got to show you this. Imagine, look, I'm not comparing 2023 to the 80s, but for everybody that has video, if anybody that's on audio wants to go check out the video and check out the screenshot, go to the 22-minute mark of this episode. Imagine how people's heads would explode if they saw this feud with Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. My friends, it starts in 1981. And you have on the screen 1 year of matches. And what do you see over and over again? DQ, 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 count it out. DQ, 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 count it out. DQ. It's like a new dance. DQ, 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 count it out. This goes on. Look. This goes into what, 1984? Let's go a little bit further. This goes into 19... Oh, wait a minute. That don't look good. That looks good. I mean, of course, by 84, 85, the bloom was off the rose. But my point is, you look at Dusty Rhodes early on, all the money was Dusty Rhodes failing, losing his temper, getting disqualified, somebody interfering, Four Horsemen, Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, and forever, Dusty Rhodes chasing Ric Flair, chasing Ric Flair. Now, it's different in this day and age because Roman Reigns is not going to be wrestling all that much. We're in a different era. So you can't look at it in that mindset. But my friends, Sami Zayn is Sting. If you take different aspects of it. You remember when Sting was very, very young and they wanted to put him in the Horseman? And then they realized, like, no, you're not a Horseman. And they beat the fuck out of him and Sting became one of the most popular. He was popular already. He went to another level. Problem is, in 2023, Sami Zayn is not going to get a boatload of matches against Roman Reigns. We're not going to have house shows after house shows after house shows. And if you want to say Kevin Owens could be the Lex Luger, obviously we don't compare their in-ring repertoires, but you look at it, Four Horsemen, Bloodline, Paul Heyman, J.J. Dillon, Ric Flair, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes. As much as people, including me, were very disappointed at Cody Rhodes not winning yesterday, I literally woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I was like, holy fuck, this is the Four Horsemen and Dusty Rhodes all over again. And seriously, don't pander to me. Don't kiss my ass. Don't compliment me. Be honest with me. What do you think? What do you think? Now, people have talked about the Four Horsemen and the Bloodline before just because they're a faction. You think about Triple H's beloved, his love for Ric Flair. Ric Flair, the Horseman. And taking that template and using it with the Bloodline. And here, you want a little bit further? One of Arn Anderson's most infamous quotes was, "Adversity introduces man to himself." Adversity introduces man to himself. What did Kevin Patrick talk about tonight with Cody Rhodes? Cody Rhodes battled adversity yesterday. Learned himself adversity. I'm telling you, I truly believe that the foundation of the Bloodline under Triple H, head of creative, is inspired by Ric Flair, the Four Horsemen, Sting, And you could take elements from 1981, 1984, 1988, put it all together. Shawn Michaels doing that template for Roxanne Perez. Now you start understanding a little bit more why Cody Rhodes losing yesterday makes sense. Chase. Brock Lesnar got booed out of the building tonight. Brock Lesnar still gets the most insane pops. But even Brock Lesnar, the fans turned against for attacking Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is almost Teflon right now. Roman Reigns getting booed tonight, even though Triple H shook his hand, introduced him, acknowledged him. Cody Rhodes is Dusty Rhodes right now. That's why Cody is not champion yet. Cody will have to deal with adversity. This is the scenic route because it is too early for Roman Reigns to feud with Cody Rhodes. Because Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, if it happens in Saudi Arabia, that is 2 months from now. If it happens at SummerSlam, that is like 4 months from now. So who do you have Cody Rhodes go up against in the meantime? There's not too many names you could pick, especially when you think of this template. Dusty Rhodes had so many obstacles back then. It wasn't just the Horsemen. Dusty had some amazing feuds with other people. Cody Rhodes is Dusty Rhodes right now. And that's why he didn't win the championship yesterday. And that's why it all starts to make sense. It's a beautiful thing. I know the execution may not be all that great in a lot of people's eyes because we are in 2023. We are in the era of instant gratification. I mean, people were pissed off tonight. No Randy Orton, no Bron Breakker, no Jay White. You know, I mean, it's just like, okay, you know, all right, you know, no surprises, no big surprises. I mean, Matt Riddle returning is cool. Brock Lesnar turning on Cody was a surprise. I don't think anybody ever thought Brock Lesnar was going to team up with Cody Rhodes, you know, but we have to accept 2023 standards, and you can't take everything the way it was before. But I would love your reaction and opinion to it. Am I on to something? Does this make sense to you? I personally think it all comes clear, especially even when they come down and call Solo Sikoa the enforcer. I'm like, yeah, you couldn't write it any clearer. And Cody Rhodes will be champion. Just not yet. So, Raw tonight, average show. As far as Raw after WrestleMania's go, beginning and end, people will talk about the most. In the middle, it just felt like, you know, it felt like everybody was exhausted. Especially when you're in the middle of this big merger as an acquisition, you know, the M&A with Endeavor and UFC. But the match results tonight on Raw, we had, first of all, Triple H, as I should mention, Triple H opened up the show, hit the ring, you know, looking great, looking healthy, which is always very important. He thanked the fans. He thanked the staff. Talked about WrestleMania 40 years in the making, you know, inspired. Didn't mention Vince by name. Believe me, Vince McMahon will appear on TV again. You know, I know, listen, when I wrote in the synopsis yesterday that this merger and acquisition is going to piss off the internet wrestling community, you realize why now. Vince McMahon still has power. Vince McMahon, I got a little audio comment for all of you out there. Vince McMahon did an interview earlier today, and he was asked if he's going to be involved with creative. I want you to listen closely of what Vince McMahon said. Check this out. It's only about 20 seconds.
On the creative side, Vince, do you plan to be as involved as you have in the past on the creative side?
Yes and no. On a higher level, yes. And the weeds, which you always love to get in the weeds in the past. No, can't do that.
Okay. Now, he's made the weeds remark in the past, but this is how I interpret it. And I've said this before. These bigwigs, these executives, want to deal with Vince McMahon. I don't care what podcaster, I don't care what journalist, I don't care what blogger hates Vince, despises him, spits on his grave, and he's not even buried yet. These bigwigs, these millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires, Saudi Arabia, NBC Universal, Endeavor, Dana White, Tim White, Paul White, whoever you want to choose, they want to deal with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon brought back George Barrios and Michelle Wilson because executives like dealing with them. So when you realize that Endeavor is going to own 51%, 51%, does that ring a bell? If you go check out January 7th's podcast, we talked about the 51-49 split, that somebody was going to have the voting power by 1%, and it's Endeavor. But when Vince says in a bigger level, this is for the WrestleManias, this is for the SummerSlams, these are for the events that are going to draw 40, 50, 60, 80,000 people. On an everyday basis, Vince is not getting in the weeds anymore, creative-wise. But when you start booking SummerSlam and you want to fill 60, 70,000 people, you best damn believe that Vince McMahon is going to have a big say creatively of what goes into it. When people say, oh, matches were changed at WrestleMania because of Vince, yeah, when you realize that he owns 85% of the voting power and all his stock and he's run WWE for 40-something years, what do you think he's going to do? Oh, these podcasters, they don't like me. I can't. I have to stay home. I'll eat pussy all night long instead because I can't do that. Oh, you know, blah, 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 might get triggered in the back. You ain't going to do that. These bigwigs want to deal with Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is going to be around. He's going to be around until, obviously, medically or maybe something higher up stops him permanently. You know, he's going to be around. Get used to it. Accept it. People online, you can't go by that. You got to go by common sense. This is why what we talked about in January, not saying it to brag, but you check out January 7th episode. Everything that we said happened. The only thing we didn't know at that time, if it was going to be Endeavor. We knew that it was going to have to be done by the summertime because now you have to negotiate with NBC Universal. You have to make the negotiations. And Nick Khan, did interviews about this. Nick Khan talking about, I'll pull it up right now, he was on with Colin Cowherd. And he said the most pressing issue right now is the TV deals. And they're going to have to negotiate with NBC Universal and Fox. And, you know, this is a big deal. But you knew that summertime was going to be the absolute cutoff with this. Because if they don't ink a deal by a certain date, they have to pull it off the table. Because if it would have been Comcast, let's use Comcast for an example. Comcast is not going to want to buy WWE, and then they're on NBC Universal. When you thought about the cons, with all due respect to Tony and Shad Khan, and I'm not, you know, criticizing them right now, but it was just common sense. You imagine if they bought WWE and WWE had a new TV deal with NBC Universal or Fox, and then Tony Khan goes back to Warner Media and says, yeah, we bought WWE, and yeah, they're going to be on your competitor's network. We can't put them on Warner Media because we you know, they already inked the deal. You start thinking about things like this and you realize why it made no sense for half these names to even be mentioned. But right now, that is what's going down. And Triple H coming out on Raw, you know, thanking the fans, WrestleMania, you know, the staff, the wrestlers, WrestleMania 40 years in the making. But more importantly, Triple H assured the fans, we are going nowhere. The superstars, the action, the drama, week in and week out, we are going nowhere. Just like the beginning of the show says, then, now, forever, together. That's what Triple H was doing tonight. a little inspirational speech to let everybody know that WWE is going to be what it was before. Obviously, some things are going to change. We might see a crossover with some UFC. Who knows? Maybe Brock Lesnar, this might have to have a little, you know, Dana White aspect to it. Do not discount the possibility of Dana White's name start to be mentioned on TV. Endeavor is going to own 41% of this deal. You know, you talk about, you know, the merger. And think about this. The merger and acquisition is almost $22 million. UFC is worth 12. WWE is worth $9.3 billion. And, you know, you're not going to see any massive changes. Because, listen, even though, you know, last night the biggest complaints people had was, or over the weekend was, oh, they couldn't fucking do anything for Bobby Lashley. Believe me, when Kevin and I do the recap tomorrow, I will complain about how they did nothing for Bobby Lashley, how they did nothing for LA Knight. You know, there was a couple of things that I was like, you know, that's kind of like fucked up. But if that's my biggest complaint, I think WrestleMania overall was great. I think Bobby Lashley right now is in the same position Seth Rollins was in the summertime of last year. Do you remember when Seth Rollins, I don't know if it was SummerSlam, I forget which event it was, but Seth Rollins was pulled, and Seth Rollins went on social media and said, WWE Universe, one day they will hear you. And Triple H went on Twitter and said to Seth Rollins, I hear you. Ooh, I almost knocked my glass off. I hear you. Look at Seth Rollins' momentum since. Yeah, he's not vying for a title right now because obviously WWE is not going to rush this story because of instant gratification. Cody Rhodes is not going to be champion overnight. They're not going to give you instant gratification. We are too used to things happen to happen now, and it needs to happen fast. You know, surprises, it has to happen now. No, I don't want to wait 2 months. I want now. If I want the answer to a question, I go on Google, or I ask Alexa or Siri or whatever else. If I want to whack off, I could go on a porn site for free and do my thing in 30 seconds, as long as nobody's watching. Anything you want. You want a recipe. You want it. Oh, you got to convert something from grams to ounces. You want the results of a sport. You want to see what happened in the game yesterday in the playoffs. Everything is instant gratification. Instant, instant, instant. WWE is not going to speed it up because people are too used to instant gratification. So this is why we get what we get. We didn't get a lot of surprises. Listen, there was not very much in the surprise department yesterday. And yeah, I remember Nick Khan over the weekend saying there's going to be some big surprise at WrestleMania. Shane McMahon, well, you know, we'll talk about Shane tomorrow. But, you know, there wasn't. We didn't see any turns, you know, there was a lot, you know, that didn't happen. But there was also a lot that did happen. And, you know, Triple H giving the speech today, bringing in Roman Reigns, WrestleMania 33 vibes. Roman Reigns, every time he's about to talk, would have made it perfect tonight if he would have got on the mic and said, this is my yard now. And by the way, I think that is part of this week's history episode. I think that WrestleMania and the Raw after is part of it. And yes, Roman Reigns' promo is part of it. It was either last week or this week in wrestling history. So we'll do a little preview a little bit later. But Roman Reigns coming out there, WrestleMania 33 vibes, and the crowd is shitting all over Roman Reigns. They are not happy about what happened yesterday. Cody comes out there. And, you know, Cody, you know, didn't expect the way that this ended up. But there's only one word he wants to say to Roman Reigns, and it's rematch. And Paul Heyman was great tonight. You know, what would you consider a hypothetical rematch? When would you want this hypothetical rematch? And Cody looks at him and says, tonight. And the crowd goes nuts. Oh my God, we're getting a rematch tonight. Maybe they will do the title change. Instant gratification. Instant. Paul says, no. And he runs off a bunch of events, but he never brought up Saudi Arabia, by the way. He says no. And he says, this is what you call calling the shots. When you live on the island of relevancy, you get to call the shots. So this part I didn't like all that much. When Cody is like, well, you know, I'm here and you're here and let's have a tag team match. It was kind of like a wet fart because I'm like, you know, you want the rematch. You know, like, all right, you want to put his hands on him. You want to maybe emphasize a little bit more about Solo Sikoa pretty much costing him the championship yesterday. But Cody's like a tag team. So Paul Heyman negotiates. He's talking, whispering with Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman comes back and says, you know, yeah, we'll give it to you, but under two conditions. Number one, whoever your partner is, it's got to be somebody that fought at WrestleMania, and whoever it is will never get a title shot against Roman Reigns ever again. So Cody Rhodes accepts it. We don't know who Cody's partner is going to be because who wants to give up their opportunity of possibly facing Roman Reigns in the future? Well, you know, long-term booking. Brock Lesnar's music hits. Brock Lesnar comes out there. And then everybody is quickly reminded, like, oh, yeah, that's right. Brock Lesnar can never face Roman Reigns for the championship ever again. So Brock Lesnar agrees to team up with Cody Rhodes tonight. So we thought. But I was kind of excited because I think the last time Brock Lesnar fought in a tag team match for WWE, it was one of my most memorable matches, you know, back in the day. It was John Cena and Eddie Guerrero versus Brock Lesnar in a Big Show. I think it was 2004. That's the last time Brock Lesnar is tagged in the WWE. So we're kind of getting some history tonight. This might have been, somebody told me earlier that this might have been the first time Brock Lesnar wrestled on Raw in like forever. And I didn't have time to do the research on it, but I was like, whoa, okay, this is interesting. But, you know, a lot of you online, including me, you know, we kept thinking to ourselves, like, why would Brock want to team up with Cody Rhodes? And a lot of people out there thought, oh, maybe Brock's going to turn on Cody. And it makes sense. You know, at minimum, Saudi Arabia is 2 months away. SummerSlam is even longer than that. So you can't, you have to divert Cody away from Roman Reigns for a little while. And that's what everybody was thinking. Everybody was thinking that the match will go down tonight. We get a little history, but then after the match is over, Brock turns on Cody. We didn't even get the match. The end of the night, everybody comes out there. You're looking at the clock. It's like 10:50. Like, wow, this main event's only going to be like 8 minutes long. And then Brock immediately turns on Cody Rhodes. Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, they just leave. They just leave. No tease that maybe they have aligned in some capacity. Earlier in the night, Roman Reigns is asking, Wise Man, did you know that Brock Lesnar was going to accept this? I had no idea. First of all, how would Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar and everyone else think that Cody Rhodes would propose a tag team match tonight? Yeah, that's why I didn't like that aspect all that much. But Cody Rhodes getting jumped by Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar beats the balls off of Cody Rhodes, puts him, F5s him through the table, hits him with the steps, puts the steps in the ring, F5s him on the steps, brings chairs. Adam Pearce is losing his shit. Kind of funny that Adam Pearce doesn't suspend Brock Lesnar, but suspended Bobby Lashley not too long ago for, you know, just basically causing chaos. But we liked it. We liked it. And this is the diversion tactic to get Cody Rhodes away from Roman Reigns for the time being. For the time being. Next week, Brock Lesnar is probably going to have to explain why this happened. If you wait a couple of weeks, I think people are going to say it's a little bit old. You know, it's got to make sense. We'll see where it goes. But this is obviously a diversion because Roman versus Cody is not happening right around the corner. They have to shift it. And you know what? Even though outside of the beginning of ending Raw tonight, Raw was kind of average at best, not a very good overall Raw after WrestleMania. But you have to admit, they did a good job shifting Cody Rhodes away from Roman Reigns for a little while. Now it makes sense. You know, because that was one of the problems that you had before. Like, why would Sami Zayn, like, divert away from Roman Reigns? You know, oh, well, the Usos. You know, that's once Jey Uso turned on Sammy. Now, obviously, they're going to take down the Usos and part of the bloodline. But you see some of these feuds and you say to yourself, why would somebody just like stop feuding with someone, you know, and fight someone else? There's got to be good reason behind it. Cody Rhodes getting the balls beat out of him by Brock Lesnar is a good way to do it. So we got that earlier tonight. So Omos over Elias, pretty much a squash. Paul Heyman sees the Usos backstage. Paul Heyman tells them to, quote, sick of it all, take the night off. You know, you got fish, you got all that shit on the plane. Go take the night off. Your services are not needed. Okay, fine. Bad Bunny. Oh, this was vicious. And I have the clip. Bad Bunny at ringside. I'm very happy to be hosting Backlash. That is not my Bad Bunny impersonation. He's at ringside. Rey Mysterio comes out. Rey is happy. He was in the Hall of Fame. Thanks to fans. Thanks everybody. He's very, very proud to be in the Hall of Fame. Goes up to Bad Bunny, gives Bad Bunny a hug. And here comes Austin Theory. I loved what went down tonight for obvious reasons. Most of you already know. I got ripped apart by you motherfuckers over the last couple of weeks because I've been saying they should do a legend killer thing with Austin Theory. Like, once Austin Theory gets past John Cena, he should go after Rey. He should go after Edge. He should go after this. And tonight, Austin Theory comes out, interrupts Rey's speech, and he's talking about beating the legend John Cena, and he's beating our childhood heroes, or your childhood heroes. I'm too old for that. But I loved it because I saw people tonight, oh, you know, if he does a legend killer thing, I'm actually good with that. I don't think it's going to be that long. But Austin Theory challenges Rey tonight, and he beats Rey Mysterio with help from Dominic Mysterio. And here's where it gets interesting. After the match is over, Dominic is beating on Rey, and Damian Priest is there. Dominic goes by ringside to Bad Bunny, gets into his face. Bad Bunny just nails him. Nails Dominic right in the mouth. Now, we know the history with Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. And Damian Priest is like, why did you get involved? You should have stood out of this. But meanwhile, if you go back and you watch it, Dominic got in Bad Bunny's face. So Damian Priest pulls Bad Bunny over the barricade. And then Dom gets into his face again. He's about to attack Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny turns around and whacks him again. Nails Dominic Mysterio. Knocking Dominic Mysterio on his ass. Anybody that does it gets monster pops. So Bad Bunny does that. And now Damian Priest flips out. And I hope Bad Bunny is not injured in this. Because if you look at this closely, it looks like either Bad Bunny did not push off, or maybe because he didn't push off strong enough that Damian Priest couldn't get enough lift. And if you look at it closely, this looked, just look at your screen, just look at it closely. Oh my God, look at his fucking neck. Just focus on Bad Bunny's neck. It looks like he didn't get lift. And I think Damian Priest was just trying to like pull him up as high as he can. Just look at the whip, watch it look. Oh my God. That was good. That's good. One more time. Look at, just focus on Bad Bunny's neck. Watch right now. Oh, God. He just chokeslams him through the fucking table. So, Backlash, Rey Mysterio, Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio. They're going to be in Puerto Rico. Come on. It's, you know, Kev brought up that match last week, and he was right. You know, you could see it. I mean, I heard that, oh, who was it? I'm trying to remember. Rhea Ripley's opponent in Puerto Rico might be, who is Natty's partner, the one that, oh, God, I'm drawing a blank. Tegan Knox. I'm not sure if Tegan Knox is Latina, but some people, you know, we're talking about that tonight. You're going to see a heavy Latin influence on Backlash. Oh, and I can't wait to talk about Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair tomorrow. Wow. That was incredible. Yes, you realize now all the clickbait about Charlotte and Rhea closing out WrestleMania, you know, was never going to happen. But in hindsight, if we knew we were getting what we got for night one, I don't think anybody would have objected. Austin says Tegan is from Wales. So, you know, maybe I don't think Raquel Rodriguez. No. Raquel Rodriguez versus Rhea Ripley is way too soon. Next week, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez are getting a title shot against Lita and Becky Lynch, because tonight Liv and Raquel beat Damage Control, so they get the number one contenders match next week on Raw. Now, remember what Kevin and I talked about last week about if Trish Stratus turns heel, remember the scenario, I helped you get that championship. I'm the reason why you got those championships, and I'm the reason why you lost those championships. Are they going to lose it next week? It's a little too soon. I think Trish gets the payday in Saudi Arabia. I think she gets whatever the amount is. I don't know what Lita got for Saudi Arabia, but it was big. So Trish getting the payday in Saudi Arabia, I think that is around the corner. So Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they come out, cut a promo. Crowd is chanting, "You deserve it." Kevin Owens is like, "You're damn right. But you all deserved it as well." Sami Zayn wants to celebrate, wants to party. Kevin Owens is like, "My type of celebration is beating up people, fighting people." So they issue an open challenge, come out here if you want to match with us. And the Street Profits accept. Oh, boy. Street Profits, they win at WrestleMania. We think, oh, okay, you know, maybe they'll be the first feud for Owens and Zayn. They come out, cut the promo tonight. They want the smoke. They want Owens and Zayn. And Montez Ford, not even Angelo Dawkins, Montez Ford eats a stunner and eats a huluva kick and gets pinned clean. And I think it was non-title, but still, you almost feel like something is going to happen with Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford. It just feels it. Something is coming. It's got to, because any momentum in 24 hours was taken away. Seth Rollins comes out. He celebrates a little bit. Bobby Lashley is in the back. He is frustrated, pissed off. Mustafa Ali shows up. Before Mustafa Ali shows up, Bronson Reed shows up. I don't know what the fuck he was dressed. He looked like he was a pimp. And now Bobby Lashley to Bronson Reed is like, "Hey, you're like my uncle." I am not going to do an Australian accent. "You're like my uncle and I'm your nephew. You're like the teacher and I'm the student." And Bobby Lash, like, you want an ass kicking? No, not tonight. I'm wearing red and shades and all this other shit. So, obviously, this is leading to something. So, Mustafa Ali shows up, and Mustafa Ali's like, "Bobby, you got to be more positive. You know, you got to be positive, Ali. Blah, 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 blah. Don't say no. You don't accept no." Bobby Lash, like, "All right, I'll beat your ass tonight." "No." Bobby Lash, like, "Oh, no? No, yes." And Bobby Lashley pretty much beats Ali like that. Dolph Ziggler is going to need to interact with Ali soon, and they have to make that makeshift tag team and do a little bit more comedy out in the ring and get some wins. Otherwise, Ali, oh boy. Oh boy. That's all I could say. Interesting tonight. Interesting. Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, they had a little face-to-face. And Rhea Ripley won the popularity contest with the fans. When Bianca came out first, crowd was completely behind her. She cuts a promo. She wants to give a little bit of a shout out and a credit to Asuka. You know, if I'm going to be the EST, I got to beat the best. And before, you know, we think Asuka is going to come out, here comes Rhea Ripley. And Rhea Ripley, she gets on the mic and she says to Bianca Belair, "Yeah, you are the EST. You're the luckiest. L-U-C-K-I-E-S-T. You're the luckiest. Because I chose Charlotte instead of you." And she's basically almost issuing a challenge to Bianca Belair. And the crowd is behind Rhea. They're chanting, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." Bianca gets on the mic and a little bit kind of like wet fart. "One day, Rhea, one day we'll face each other." And I'm like, oh, you know, that's kind of like goes completely against the EST. Why don't we do it right now? you know, almost like make Rhea be the chicken shit and back off a little bit. But no, you know, Bianca Belair, you know, with them face to face in the ring, the crowd was, I would say, 60-40 in favor of Rhea Ripley. You know, I think that's pretty fair, right? 60-40, 65-35, around there. I mean, I don't want to make it come across that Bianca Belair was completely booed out of the building. She wasn't, and she shouldn't. She shouldn't. By the way, you know, I got to show a couple of things. You know, Bianca's entrance, remember this little girl that was out there? There is a really touching and sad story online. Her mother died earlier in the day yesterday. And she was part of this dance group, and she wanted to do it as like a tribute to her mom. And that's why Bianca Belair insisted that she gets the spotlight. Beautiful little story, man. Really sad. You know, I don't know the details behind the mom passing away, but my God, could you imagine somebody that young losing their mom the day of WrestleMania? Oh, that's awful. If I could be a little bit more lighthearted about WrestleMania yesterday, you know, I was going to put up a photo montage today, but everybody and their mother's done that already. But remember the Cinnamon Toast Crunch emoji yesterday? Sol Ruka of NXT was under that outfit. Trish Stratus was showing off that her outfit at WrestleMania was a recreation of her outfit from like 18 years ago. She also posted this photo that she got from WrestleMania, which I think is fucking awesome. There was some fun photos yesterday, but I got to share with you two. One is my favorite photo, and one is a little disturbing. Warn you now, if you don't want to see this photo, step away, close your eyes, don't look at the screen. I will tell you when you can open your eyes, but Finn Balor yesterday against Edge. For those, you know, obviously, if you saw the match, you know Edge hit Finn Balor with the ladder. Finn Balor legitimately got busted open hard way. We didn't know the severity of it, but the reason why they did not show the camera, and if you look at Edge back then, Edge went under the ring, looked for something, got a toolbox. We thought he was going to get the wrench and maybe he's going to do something to Finn Balor's ear. And after all of that, Edge goes back in the ring with nothing. Nothing. And it was all diversion. But what they were doing, while the cameras weren't focused, what they did was they took lidocaine and they actually put a needle in Finn Balor's head over where the cut was and put lidocaine to numb it for a few seconds so they could staple the wound shut as quickly as they could. It was temporary sutures, obviously, but they have doctors at ringside prepared for serious injuries like that now. So they actually injected lidocaine on the top of his head and then put sutures. This is a picture of Finn Balor's injury. Again, close your eyes if you don't want to see it. I will show it to you for a couple of seconds, but there it is. That is the gash that Finn Balor had on his head. That is, oh, my God. My God, give that motherfucker credit, man. I think adrenaline took over, and he was great. I mean, yes, in a losing effort. Believe me, we didn't want this to be the result. And no, that's not from yesterday. That's actually his match from Roman Reigns. You know, we don't want to see the demon laid out like that anymore, but obviously yesterday it was not in the cards. But my favorite photo, does anybody have any idea what was my favorite photo WrestleMania weekend? It's comedic. Was there any photos, anything that happened on the screen that made you laugh your ass off? I'll give you a hint. It was last night, and it was the main event. Did you see what happened at the very end of WrestleMania last night after Cody Rhodes got pinned? Did anybody happen to see in the ring somebody threw a chicken? Somebody threw the fucking plastic chicken in the ring. There's a close-up. Look, the chicken. My friends, I found the chicken. That is a legit photo. That's not Photoshop. Somebody threw the chicken in the ring with Cody Rhodes. Look. I found him. That's the chicken. See, I found the chicken. That it, look, am I wrong? Look, that's the chicken. That's the chicken. Yep. This is, somebody threw the chicken in the ring with Cody Rhodes, the chicken. Brad Shepherd's dick could probably fit in this, for real. He looks like he's got it. Look, look. Brad, you know, feed me, Brad. Look, feed me, feed me. Yeah, we got to start calling out assholes. Ringside News, some of these other assholes, fuck them. But, yeah, it was my favorite screenshot. We were watching WrestleMania last night, and I took some notes for tomorrow. And right as I go off the air, I'm typing something, and my wife says, is that a chicken in the ring? That looks like your chicken. And I'm like, huh, what are you talking about? And I look, and I see this. There's literally a fucking rubber chicken next to Cody Rhodes last night. Oh, man, that was great. So, anyway, after Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez beat Damage Control to get the shot next week, Miz comes out there. He complains after what happened to WrestleMania. Shane McMahon legitimately got pretty injured yesterday. Give credit for, I forget that female's name, the referee, Edge's favorite referee. I can't remember her name right now. I always forget it. She actually told Snoop Dogg, could you do the people's elbow? Could, you know, she actually told him, do the people's elbow on The Miz. They improvised at the very last minute. Jessica Carr. Thank you, VJ. Props to Jessica Carr, man. I'm telling you, she's great. I mean, look, there's a few referees there that are great. But Jessica Carr, you know, if you go back and you watch it after Shane got injured, just watch her closely and you'll see her asking Snoop Dogg, could you do the people's elbow? Snoop Dogg was good yesterday. I couldn't complain about Snoop Dogg. I mean, I've been pretty harsh on Snoop Dogg over the years, but, you know, I could see why people really beloved him. And he was funny as the, I still wish it would have been LA Knight on the opposite side. I don't regret it now after seeing what Snoop Dogg did. Plus, when he came out with Rey Mysterio, and he's coming out to his own music, and that's flashbacks for me, man. That is flashbacks. And then, you know, Ray with Eddie's music. Everything was good. So, and the main event, as we said earlier, the match never happened because Brock Lesnar turned on Cody, beat the balls off of him. We go off the air. So next week, all we know is that Matt Riddle is going to take on The Miz. And we're going to see the Women's Tag Team Championships on the line. There was a backstage interview tonight with Lita, Trish, and Becky. And, you know, Lita's cutting a little bit of a promo talking about the match next week. And Becky Lynch is like, you know, great, you know, I'm sick of dealing with Damage Control. And now we could start adding prestige, elevating these championships. And it starts next week. And Lita and Becky walk off. And Trish is standing there with Byron Saxton. And Byron's like, and Trish leaves. So you could see something is brewing. With Trish. Something's brewing with Trish. So again, beginning was great. End was great. The middle felt like a regular Raw. Hey, you know, I'm not going to be too hard on it because we just got spoiled with a tremendous WrestleMania. Night one and two was outstanding. Outstanding. And once again, one more cheap plug. Tomorrow night, Kevin and I will be recording the WrestleMania review. We will also talk about the Raw that went down tonight. A couple of aspects of it. We're not going to get into a recap. We're just going to talk about what is going to come from this to lead to Backlash and beyond. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about the deal with Endeavor as well. But now, how we're going to do this is simple. Kevin and I are going to be on Patreon at 10 o'clock, and we're going to record it live. Our Patreon friends and family will be there. Live, they will, you know, interact with us during the recording. But as soon as the episode is over, it'll be online for everybody. Just go to dontony.com and you could access the show there. Again, unfortunately, I can't put it on YouTube because of the music and the copyright and other things. So I'm not going to risk getting in trouble for that. And it's audio only anyway. So dontony.com, it'll be online right around midnight, might be a few minutes later. And then don't forget, next week, we do the Matt Riddle contest. So you definitely want to show up live to be part of it. I don't know if we're going to do raw predictions, because I know a lot of people, you know, aren't the greatest predicting ratings. So maybe we'll just do something in a live chat. We'll let everybody, you know, like post like a code or something, and maybe we'll do like a lucky number drawing or something. We'll figure it out. I have a whole week to think about it. One last programming note. Don't forget, I'm on little vacation this week. I will be off from Thursday night until Monday afternoon. I will not be getting back to my house, the Casa, next Monday until probably 6 or 7 p.m. I will be back in time to recap Raw. I'm bringing my laptop with me, so if I have to make some thumbnails or some shit in the meantime, I will. But so really it just affects Saturday and Sunday as far as shows go. But the history show will be put up tomorrow, as will DTKC show, recap and WrestleMania. And then Wednesday, we got Wednesday Night Dynamite. By the way, you know, shout out to Johnny. I mean, I posted it earlier. Of course, nobody, you know, from the elite, you know, appreciates it. But today, MJF got the key to Oyster Bay. It's not a big deal, but, you know, hey, getting the key for your own town is pretty cool. And I've dealt with the town of Oyster Bay many, many times because I have clients that, you know, pull permits from the building department, the licensing division. I have dealt with that building on Audrey Avenue many times. And I got word around lunchtime, like, oh, they're doing a ceremony for MJF. So I posted online. I'm like, hey, if anybody's local, if you want to go, go to the building. They're going to do it this afternoon. And one of our viewers, Johnny, or listeners, DM'd me earlier today with a couple of candid photos. And he's like, you know, thanks for letting me know. He actually went and, you know, didn't get great shots because it was private ceremony, but also got some shots from outside and in. So, but Dynamite Wednesday, I don't know how much to write, you know, home about, but the House of Black are going to take on Orange Cassidy and Best Friends. Sammy Guevara against Commander, Hook versus Ethan Page, Jamie Hayter versus Riho, The Guns versus FTR. I think, honestly, I think everybody's watching it for that match. Because FTR, if they lose, they're out of AEW. Juice Robinson versus Ricky Starks, Blackpool Combat Club will talk. We'll see highlights of MJF Day. MJF will come out there, probably get confronted. I don't know, maybe Darby Allin this time around. Last week it was Jungle Boy. And the Acclaimed will say no to the Jericho Appreciation Society. And they've been wine and dined to be part of the group. They're going to make their answer tomorrow, or Wednesday. So the answer is going to be no. But that's what they're doing to the Acclaimed is what they did to Ricky Starks and what they did to others. People want to see the Acclaimed feud with the Guns and get those titles back. Oh, no, no, no. Jericho Appreciation Society, they put that bump in the road. So, all right. I'm going to give a couple of super shout-outs in a moment. There are a couple of additional things I want to do. Definitely want to pay tribute to someone in a moment that we opened up the show with. First, I just want to give you a little teaser for this week in wrestling history. No, this was not designed because of the Hall of Fame. This happened to fall this week. Yeah, Andy Kaufman getting pile-driven by Jerry Lawler. Not only is that highlighted on this episode, but I have perfect, enhanced, beautiful quality. Wait till you hear how spectacular this sounds, because all the footage online is awful. That is one thing that I take pride with these history shows. All the highlights, the audio is incredible, especially enhancing it. But as you could see, this week in history, we had Ken Patera and Mr. Saito get arrested. Remember the incident with the McDonald's where they beat up people? What's this about? What's that? God rest Daphne Stoll. Love her. But this week in history, something weird went down with her, and you see the word striptease. Striptease. Booker T. Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you. Not going to say it. Bunch of WrestleMania highlights. Paige, I think, makes a Raw debut and wins the Divas Championship. Ultimate Warrior, confrontation with Goldust. Didn't he call Goldust freak? I think he called him a freak that night. Brock Lesnar put the one in 21-1. That happened this week in history. You got all these WrestleManias that we covered. But for me, my favorite moment of them all is this. Oh, let's take this off. There you go. Hold on. Take that off. Take that off. Put that back on. Remember when John Cena lost and we were under the impression that we didn't know where John Cena goes from here? What was it, 2013, 14, around there? And then all of a sudden, Brock Lesnar's, it was the camera work was, that's what I always remember about the camera work. John Cena is looking around. And we don't know, like, what his future is in the WWE. And all of a sudden, Brock Lesnar's head pops up on the Titantron, and you hear his music. That place, to quote Michael Cole, was unglued. This is, listen, Jericho's Raw debut is my favorite Raw moment of all time. This is probably number two or number three. Brock Lesnar returning and beating the balls off of John Cena. Especially when you listen to the audio part of it, you're forced to focus on the audio. So when you hear it, you hear that crowd reaction, it gives you chills, man. That was tremendous. That happens this week. So if anybody out there that wants a little synopsis, if you want to just check it out, you could pause it on the replay and you can see like some of the synopsis. There's a lot of little hidden gems in there. Cesaro becomes a Paul Heyman guy. AJ Lee retires, leaves WWE. The Yes Movement. The Yes Movement with Daniel Bryan. It's a lot of great memories this week in history. By the way, earlier today, a lot of you let me know this, but Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Bianca Belair were on the Today Show, NBC TV, this morning, looking very, very dapper, especially, you know what, they both look dapper. Bianca Belair looks beautiful as always, so a little picture there. NXT was representing at WrestleMania. I know you can't really see up close with that, but, NXT, they had their kind of like reminiscent of 2001 when WCW had the skybox at WrestleMania. Anybody remember that? Kind of gave me vibes of that. But if you're interested, when I go like this, you could check out my recap of Stand and Deliver. We did a recap Saturday. Fun show. Couple of things unexpected, couple of things obviously expected. And, one other thing I wanted to show you. Let me show it to you. We opened up the show with this and wanted to just express condolences for Robert Miller, who you all knew as Butch of the Bushwhackers. He died today at the age of 78 years old. Bushwhacker Luke is the one who actually broke the news online. Real name, Robert Miller, 78 years old. I have talked over the years a lot about the Bushwhackers. I'm not going to change what I've said before simply because somebody is put in the Hall of Fame or passed away. I will say this. The Bushwhackers were never one of my top favorites in the WWF. They put a smile on my face. They were feel good. They were, you know, if you were down, they seemed to like pick up your spirits. I never ever thought that they would be tag team champions. I was blown away, baffled, and confused early on because I got the wrestling magazines back then and I saw their bloody feuds as the sheep herders. And these guys, say what you want about Vince McMahon. I know the popular thing right now is to not give this guy credit, and trust me, I get it. What I wrote tonight on social media, a lot of people did not like it or retweet it simply because I gave a little praise to Vince McMahon. People get that triggered. Seriously, go jerk me off. The Bushwhackers, when they came in, I was like, wait a minute. These are the fucking sheep herders. And they're literally like licking people's heads. Whoa! Yay! Whoa! I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what happened? But Luke and Butch pulled it off. Those guys became one of the most beloved tag teams of the 80s in WWF. You never, as far as me, I never got the vibe that they were a tag team threat for the championships. I remember, was it Butch who got eliminated in the Royal Rumble? He literally, didn't he have the record for the quickest elimination? He entered the ring, he got thrown over, and he literally didn't stop walking. He actually just left. And, whoa! These guys, and the funny thing is, I remember them doing an interview not too long ago that they wanted to turn heel in the early 90s. It might have even been maybe, I don't want to, was it 94, 95? It was probably around that time. Because you felt the change in attitude amongst wrestling fans. You got around 1993, 1994. By 93, 94, I'm into ECW. You got, you know, Jerry Springer. You got Girls Gone Wild. You got Ultimate Fighter. You know, you got MMA events, mixed martial arts, banned. Underground fighting. It was on the Current Affair. You had all of this renegade shit going on. Everything was like anti, anti, anti. Plus, you think about Nirvana at that time. And then you talk about ECW, Raven's character, you know, being against society. There was so many things as far as a wrestling fan that the idea of, even when Vince McMahon said, good guy versus bad guy was passé. So now you got the Bushwhackers who are still doing their thing. And people were kind of like a little bit sick. And tired. It was, the best way I could compare it is Eugene. Remember Eugene? Remember ECW One Night Stand? Believe me when I tell you, it was orgasmic to see the Sandman caning that motherfucker. Now we know Nick Dinsmore is playing a character, but you think of the character and you think of ECW, you think of hardcore, and here's this guy that's supposed to be a little bit special showing up there. No, you wanted Sandman to cane. You wanted him to cry. You wanted him to go in the corner and, you know, like curl up in a fetal position. The Bushwhackers kind of gave us those same vibes close to the mid-90s, and they wanted to turn heel, and Vince said no. Vince absolutely was against turning them heel. So believe me when I tell you, my favorite of all time, to me, in my lifetime, the most successful transition from a babyface to a heel. I'd love to hear yours. You can post it in the comment section. I'll shout out for you right now. In your lifetime, being a wrestling fan, who is the greatest transition for you who turned from babyface to heel? And now, I have to be a little bit more specific. A lot of people turn heel. I'm talking about someone that you never expected to turn heel. For me, my all-time is Bob Backlund. When Bob Backlund, Milquetoast, one of my favorites, my top five growing up, but couldn't cut a promo for shit. Seriously. When he turned heel and turned into Mr. Backlund, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. That guy, to me, greatest trade. Hulk Hogan was a heel in 79. Hulk Hogan was a heel in the early 80s. That's the only reason why I don't put Hogan on that list. But, not all of you were alive at that time. So if you are a newer wrestling fan, Hogan is a great choice. I am not going to criticize. That is an excellent choice. I'm just explaining why Hogan is not on that list for me. I'm old. I was alive and a wrestling fan when Hogan took on Andre at Shea Stadium. You know, so I lived through that. But for me, Bob Backlund is always number one. Number two is the Bushwhackers. For them to go from the sheep herders to licking kids' heads, like Vince saw something. You look at them up close. I mean, I did, you know, like I used a lot of contrast for this photo. You look at this motherfucker's forehead. I mean, that's almost not Abdullah the Butcher level, but that's almost like Bruiser Brody level, how much they cut their heads open. And somehow in the 80s, the mid-80s, or late 80s, Vince McMahon sees these two guys who are bloodying up Puerto Rico and beyond, and he brings them in, and he makes them a lovable tag team, the Bushwhackers. How do you, like, if you said to me that Tony Khan brought in the sheep herders and turned them into the Bushwhackers, and you heard that Tony Khan was stoned on a little bit of Babanya, and he's hanging out with a bunch of people, the elite, and he's like, yo, I have this idea. We got the sheep herders. Bro, what if we turn them heel? Could you imagine them? Oh, they'd be like, if somebody was stoned and high or drunk off their ass and said, you know, let's turn him heel. That would be funny. That'd be funny. And then they turn him, you know, or babyface. And they turn baby, like, how do you envision that? I, for the life of me to this day, I can't envision how Vince saw the sheep herders. You know, it's if they would have been on hiatus for a couple of years, and you heard some good stories, oh, they did this, they did that. I still don't understand that. I'm totally blown away by it. But he died at the age of 78, and Luke, who is still with us, should be very, very proud. They may not have been legendary champions, but they were definitely a part of our childhood growing up, and he died at 78 years old today. So rest in peace. Rest in peace, Robert Miller, better known as Butch of the Bushwhackers. So a little more positive. Happy anniversary, Natalia. Today is the 15-year anniversary that she made her debut on the main roster, April 3rd, 2008. So a little shout-out to Natalia. By the way, does anybody know why I'm about to say, I'd like to buy a U? Does anybody know why I'm saying that? On Thursday, I went and visited my parents. WWE happened to be on Wheel of Fortune. We had The Miz. We had Natalia. And who was the third person? It was Miz, Natalia, and, oh, Kofi Kingston. And Natalia, I think, ended up winning. But she was, if you ever seen Wheel of Fortune, she spins, she lands on something, and she gets a bunch of money. And she says, I'd like to buy a U. And they're like, oh, we got two U's. So what does she do next? I'd like to buy a U. And they're like, no, Pat Sajak's like, you're just bought a U. And then she lost her turn. I was like, oh, that was pretty funny. But yeah, Kofi Kingston, Miz, and Natalia. But if you go watch the replay, Natalia bought a U two times in a row. But she ended up winning. A U, not a Ute. What's a Ute? A Ute. Recommended viewing. This is something that you will thank me for. I didn't even know it happened. A couple of days ago, Gunther was interviewed by Ariel Helwani. It's only about 15 minutes long. If I could describe the interview in one word, humble. Gunther is so fucking humble at what he's doing. What they did yesterday, my God, amazing. That match was incredible. But I'll give you a little quick preview that I'm allowed to do. I've gotten permission from the Helwani camp. But here's a little sneak peek of Ariel Helwani talking to Gunther. Gunther is talking about WrestleMania 40.
Where are you going to be at WrestleMania 40?
In the main event.
That's the goal?
Prediction.
That's the prediction?
Yes.
Okay. Main event for the heavyweight title, the main belt.
That's something we shall see. I don't plan on losing this one, and I want to make it the most important thing there is. So,
who's the opponent?
At that night?
Yeah.
I leave that up to everybody else to make their...
Do you have a wish?
No, I don't have a wish.
You don't care?
I don't care.
No dream opponent?
There are, but obviously in this company, there are so many great guys I would really like to get in the ring with, but whatever the challenge is, I'm going to like take on it head on and yeah, make the most out of that. So everything will come around at the end. Mm-hmm. Get in the ring with anybody if you're here long enough. So I take it as it comes.
Really, really fun interview. Humble. It's the first word that comes to mind when you see it. Can't help but root for the guy. Tremendous, tremendous. Quickly, let's briefly talk about ratings over the last week. I got some numbers for you. All right. First of all, Raw this past Friday did 2,484,000 viewers. That is way up for the previous week's 2,219,000. Now, obviously, since the ratings only came out 7 hours ago, we don't have quarter-hour breakdowns yet. But the week before, The high part of the show was Rey Mysterio knocking out Dominic Mysterio after Dom yelled at his mom, and Rey accepts the challenge for WrestleMania. That quarter hour did 2,351,000 viewers. The low point of the night, believe it or not, was the final part of SmackDown, which was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn brawling with the Usos. It was the lowest, but it was not bad, 2,128,000. Rampage, unfortunately, even though they were in their normal time slot, but I give them a pass this week for a reason. Friday, they did 340,000 viewers. That is down from the previous week's 373, which happened on a Saturday. Keep in mind, we had the Hall of Fame Friday. And Conan, spectacular. I talked briefly about it on the Stand and Deliver recap. I sent him a message over the weekend, and beautiful, beautiful how he inducted Ray. Some people are calling it the greatest induction speech in history of WWE. Nick Aldis and others have actually made that comment. And a lot of others I haven't seen. I talked about it on the Stand and Deliver, but so I give Rampage a little bit of a pass this week. The week before, the high quarter was Will Hobbs versus Penta, which did 451,000 viewers. The low quarter, unfortunately, was Taya Valkyrie versus Layla Gray, which did 325,000 viewers. Impact Wrestling last week did 98,000. That is down from the week prior's 113,000. New Japan last week, down very, very slightly to 46,000 last week. The week before was 48. Dynamite this past Wednesday, interesting, only did 833,000 viewers. That is down from 955,000. And listen, man, you know, right away, you know, because of the low rating, now this comes out. What's next? Listen, I know a lot of you love Tony Khan, but now it's Tony Khan has a very important announcement. What's next when the rating is low? Tony Khan has a super duper unbelievable major, gigantic, enormous announcement. You know, it's starting to turn into something. And if you've never heard it before, I'll give you a sneak preview. We're going to talk about it Wednesday. Tony Khan is suffering from a syndrome. This is not exaggerated. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google the Dunning and Kruger syndrome. Dunning and Kruger. Tony Khan wants to help AEW hire David Dunning and Justin Kruger. That's all I'm going to say. Google it. When you see it, you're going to be like, oh my God. Oh my God. That's exactly his problem in AEW. Not going to say anything else right now. And this is not being funny right now. I am dead serious. I'm as serious what did they say? I'm serious as a stroke? I don't know. Well, anyway. By the way, you could see how much that stroke affected Jerry Lawler. When he did that induction speech, you felt it, you heard it, you saw it. Jerry Lawler is not Jerry Lawler right now. And, you know, that stroke affected him a lot more than I think some of us expected. So, oh, yeah, as serious as a heart attack or something like that. That's probably what it is. All right, so let's get back to ratings. All right, so Dynamite was down from 955. It did 833. The high point last week was MJF and Jack Perry's confrontation, as well as Don Callis getting knocked out by Jon Moxley. That did 881,000 viewers. The low quarter, believe it or not, Adam Cole's return to the ring against Daniel Garcia did 719,000 viewers. You know what that tells me? NXT levels. It's kind of disappointing. Adam Cole's return after 9 months, 719,000 viewers. That's shocking because I watched it. I looked forward to it. I enjoyed it. I'm a little surprised it was that low. All right. By the way, All Access, the debut last week, did 328,000 viewers. So just make a note of that. NXT last week did 620, up from the previous week's 550. The high point from last week's NXT was the backstage segment with the Schism, and then Roxanne Perez getting her spot back in the ladder match at Stand and Deliver, her segment with Shawn Michaels. And by the way, I don't know if you heard about it, I think Sean Rossap reported it. I have not looked into it yet. So take it right now as, you know, on surface, you know, I have to do a little bit more, you know, investigation. I guess you could go research. The Grizzly Young Veterans. Remember the tweet I talked about on Saturday that I said that's kind of a strange tweet? He reported today that they requested their release from WWE. Yeah, that's a big deal. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday. Last week's low point was the D'Angelo family versus Brooks and Jensen. It only did 586,000 viewers. MLW last week, a little increase. They did 54,000 viewers, up from the previous week's 49,000. By the way, next week is the last week of MLW on Reels. Amazing, amazing, amazing that a whole month has gone by that Reels pulled all their advertising. Not one wrestling website has reported anything about this because they want the hand job from MLW and Court Bauer. Did you see what Enzo said about them? We'll talk about it Wednesday, but Enzo was not happy about being advertised. Never signed a contract with MLW. Did it with a handshake, and he's gone from them as well. And Raw last week did 1,843,000. That is up from the prior week's 1,771,000. The high point from last week, Brock Lesnar, Omos, weigh-in, and Rhea Ripley's promo did 2,036,000 viewers. The low point last week, yeah, usually gets to the end of Raw. Dolph Ziggler versus Gunther did 1,586,000, 450,000 viewers less. Big drop, big drop. We actually talked about it on the Q&A. If you did not check it out yet, I posted the Q&A yesterday. It is online for everyone, so you might want to access that. And that is pretty much it. So just a couple of other tidbits regarding the deal with Endeavor and WWE. I want to just give you as far as roles for some people out there. All right, let me just pull up. Okay, the new company will be led by Ari Emanuel. He will also serve as the chief executive officer of Endeavor. Vince McMahon, Mark Shapiro, will be president and chief operating officers of both Endeavor and WWE. Dana White will continue his role as the president of UFC. Nick Khan will be the president of WWE. The board of directors will consist of 11 members who will be appointed at a later date. 6 will be appointed by Endeavor. 5 will be appointed by WWE. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I believe Triple H got a $5 million bonus because of this. Nick Khan got a huge bonus as well. So to give you an aspect, now you understand a little bit more now why Stephanie McMahon resigned. Because the idea of WWE and Endeavor getting together for this is not something that happened over the last couple of weeks. This is something that has been discussed for months. The thing is that all of your notorious sources online didn't have a scoop, didn't have anything. In fact, just to show you how desperate they were for news, Steve Carrier, Ringside News, I never tweet him. I know people have called him a creep, a weirdo. You know, he's been like very, very weird towards women online, perverted, disgusting, distasteful, disrespectful. But tonight, it was funny because tonight around 7:30 in the evening, he posts a bullshit tweet that just pissed me off. And he was reporting that WWE stock tanked today, went down a crazy amount. And his sources, a source of his within the stock market, gave this reason why, oh, that the because the stock is doing, it was going to do this and do that, and that's why it tanked. I click on the article, and the article is from earlier today, and it's reporting that the WWE stock was down to like, it was down like $7 a share, $8 a share. And that pissed me the fuck off because soon as I read that, not even 5 minutes after Steve Carrier posted the tweet tonight, I simply went on Google Finance and I pulled up the WWE stock. And tonight, in after hours trading, the WWE stock was up to $90.21 a share. The previous close on Friday was $91.26 a share. If you look all the way on the left, they took the number from 9:30 this morning and wrote it as the major news story. Anybody that has half a brain that knows anything about the stock market, you do not report stocks at 9 o'clock in the morning. You do it by the close of the day, because sometimes people will hear something and might make a rush decision to sell a stock, whether they think they're going to make money off of it or they think that the stock's going to drop, and a bunch of people sell quickly. Then you got other people that are like, oh, shit, then let me buy it. The stock dropped to 84. Imagine all of these people tonight or this morning that paid $84 a share and bought WWE stock. By the end of the day, it was back up to $91 or $90 a share. You realize how much money they made? So I wrote to this guy and I was like, you know, you're a stupid motherfucker. Because he reported that at 7:30 tonight, that his sources were explaining that the stock went down because my sources stock. I'm like, the motherfucker's stock rebounded and it's only a dollar down. This idiot DM'd me tonight. I didn't even read it. Like, what are you DMing me? Like, you are you afraid to like answer me publicly? You're a clickbait piece of shit. You take something from 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, and you post. Now, I could see if he tweeted at 9 in the morning. Still would have been stupid, but I would have been like, all right, you know, when he wrote it, you know, he wrote that shit at 7:30 at night. 5 minutes later after he wrote it, the stock, I looked, $90 a share, but he was trying to convince everyone that it was 84, and his sources at stock market, yeah, your sources. Twix is like the stock dropped 2% today. Yeah, that's how the stock market works. It goes down 1, 2, 3, 4%. It goes up 1, 2, 3, 4%. That's how the stock market works. Wasn't a major news story. But that's what people do. Anything for a view, a hit, a like. You know how it works, everyone. You know how it works. I'm tired. I think we covered everything. I would absolutely love your feedback about what I said at the beginning of the show. Am I on to something of what I said about the Four Horsemen and Sting and Dusty Rhodes and that whole scenario? I think that's exactly what's going on. This is inspired by the Horsemen. Ric Flair, one of Triple H's most beloved wrestlers. You look at the success of the Horsemen, it, to me, everything fits like a glove. So, and the funny thing about it, no joke, if I wouldn't have jotted it down at 3 o'clock in the morning, I probably would have remembered something today, but I would not have remembered everything. Because I probably would have thought Four Horsemen, and I would have been like, all right, what else? And then I would have just, it's amazing. And this is my advice to you going off the air. We're going to do some super shout-outs right now, obviously. But if you keep, I know people might have said this to you in the past, but I am dead serious about it. Keep a pen and paper at your bedside. Keep it on a table. Keep it on a dresser. Keep it in a drawer. If you wake up in the middle of the night, especially if you have a job, a podcast, a blog, anything, and something hits you, and you're like, holy shit, write it down. Write it down. Because you'll wake up the next day, you won't even remember thinking about it. You'll look down, and you'll be like, oh, shit. And I'm telling you, I think some of the greatest brainstorming that people do, they do while they're sleeping. It happens to me, and too many times over the years, I'm too fucking lazy to get a pen and a paper and jot it down. I just want to turn the opposite side and go back to bed. So, all right, let's get into some super shout outs and we'll call it. And, well, you know, we're in an hour and 40, a little bit longer than usual, but hey, I think we had an excellent conversation tonight. Brian Becerra with the five spot. Hey, DT, really enjoyed night one of WrestleMania more than night two. Watch the interview about Endeavor or the deal. Vince looks Latino with the mustache. Yes. He, you know, some people called him Vincent Price. If you remember Vincent Price, You know, it's just Vince with a landing strip under his nose, but the dye job is, I think, more than anything. But you know what? Hey, you know, I'm not going to lie. I use hair dye once in a while. I'm not using it right now. You can see a little over here. There's a little gray. But, yeah, I mean, it's just funny because we've never seen Vince McMahon with that look before. But, yeah, it looks like he's in disguise. You know, there's something about it that just looks off. I mean, you look at him. There's just something about it that doesn't, but hey, you know, but look, you know, don't forget what I said about Trump. Trump tomorrow, there's going to be a mugshot online. And I think Vince McMahon's name is going to be trending because people are going to bunch Trump with Vince McMahon and Vince McMahon's history and alleged history. And a lot of his promiscuity, and I think you're going to see, especially with this deal, oh, wow. There's a lot of people online that are very angry right now that Vince is still in power. I saw tonight, oh, you know, Vince is all over the show. Yeah. We might end up going to TV 14 down the line. You know, Endeavor, Ultimate Fighting, you ever look at their ratings? You ever look at their content? You think it's for children? You think WWE now is suddenly going to be like, no, but the children. You know, we might actually see them up a notch and go TV 14 at times. You know, there are going to be some changes. We will definitely talk about it as time goes on. But for everyone out there that wants WWE to be a little bit edgier, yeah, I think it may actually get a little bit edgier. As long as we don't get power slap. Seriously, if we get fucking power slap, then I want Baron Corbin to be drafted to power slap. I want to hear the WWE draft. Baron Corbin has been drafted too. And we think Raw or SmackDown, and then we hear power slap. I want one of those motherfuckers slap him upside the head, and I want to watch it in super slow-mo. I want to see Corbin's face just like... I'm not a big fan of Baron Corbin, so... Okay, let's get back to super shout-outs. Super shout-outs! Thank you, Brian. Thank you for the 5-spot. So fly with a 5-spot. DT, you nailed it about merger and acquisition. Thank you. Thank you. You know, you just look at what was being proposed. When you look at the amount of money involved, you know, Endeavor is not paying $9 billion for WWE. All right. It's going to be a 51-49 deal. And this is two companies. By the way, here's a little tidbit. TKO. Not RKO. TKO. Technical knockout. That is going to be the new stock market ticker. So you're used to WWE on the stock market. The new ticker will be TKO. So the WWE letters on the stock market will be going away. So in the very near future, it will move to TKO. Just make a note of that as well. But thank you. Look, when we talked about it in January, I know some of it was boring. I remember some of you out there were very, very honest at DT, this stuff is kind of boring. Sometimes facts are boring. And I wasn't going to clickbait. I basically put it out there and I explained in detail why I thought all along it was going to be a merger and acquisition. It made more sense. The only question was, who were they going to merge with? Now you look at this and you're like, wow, it like makes the most sense. I just don't want to get that TNA Spike TV feel. If you remember, you know, Spike TV and how much they influenced, you know, the TNA with the Ultimate Fighting stuff, yeah, we don't want that. I don't know if I want to see a Conor McGregor on Raw or Dana White on Raw, with all due respect. I'm not a big fan of MMA, but a lot of people are. So listen, what I like, you know, I'm probably in the minority here with that. So thank you, SoFly. I appreciate it. I'm glad that we got it right. Another one for the good guys. Jay Paulin with a 5-spot. DT, did I see the exchange between Paul Heyman and Nick Houseman at last night's press conference? It was pretty funny. No, I don't watch the press conferences. It's nothing against the people who ask the questions. You know what my problem is with most of these people? And I don't have any personal issues with them. I just like when someone asks a question and it's one of their chums, like, it's got to be, like, trending amongst the cake and ice cream club. Like, oh, so-and-so just asked this question. So-and-so just asked this question. Oh, he asked Triple H about the sale. And did you any news about the sale? Nope. Like, with all due respect to Nick Houseman, you know that it's a securities violation if they start divulging info. You think they're going to, you know what the answer is, but you still pull it out there anyway for what? That's how you waste your question? That's why, really, to me, I think people are, I'm not saying him, but there's some people out there that are more about asking a question so their name is in lights. And honestly, you know, I it's just, you know, it's not my thing. But I will say this. I don't want to see, you know, Nick Houseman getting embarrassed by anybody. You know, as much as it was fun to see Triple H embarrass Mike Johnson back in the day, I felt bad for Mike Johnson because Mike Johnson overall is a good guy. You know, just ask dumb questions. People like to play gotcha. And when people play gotcha, you know, you got to be careful who you play it with. See CM Punk on that one. So thank you, Jay Paulin. All right, Steve Joseph, what happened with Bobby Lashley's open challenge? Thank you for the two spot, by the way. My opinion, Bobby Lashley right now is in the same position Seth Rollins was in the summertime. I touched on it briefly earlier. Seth Rollins in the summertime had no direction, was frustrated, went on social media. He said, WWE Universe, I hope get your message. They see you. You know, one day they'll see you. One day they'll, and Triple H says, I see you. You know, Triple H sent a message publicly to Seth Rollins like, I see you. Just let it play out. I think Seth Rollins trusted Triple H. Look where Seth Rollins is right now. Yesterday, I got a lot of feedback from the Q&A that I recorded a week and a half ago that I think Seth Rollins, somebody told me to choose the next three WWE champions. I think Seth Rollins is one of them. Seth Rollins is going to be champion again. Seth Rollins, I don't know if it's going to be against Cody or Roman or somebody down the line, but Seth Rollins will be heavyweight champion again by WrestleMania of next year. I truly believe that. So Bobby Lashley, I'm not worried about. Bobby Lashley, they have too much invested in him, and they know what he's worth. So Bobby Lashley right now, unfortunately, some people have to step aside. People were very frustrated about Asuka losing yesterday. Asuka has been pushed quite a bit over her WWE career. Right now, though, it's not her time. If Kairi Sane returns and they form the Kabuki Warriors again, there will be Asuka's opportunity. And they will corner the tag team division again. Right now, it's not Bobby Lashley's time. It will. It will. Somebody's always going to be left behind. But hopefully it's temporary. Let's see 6 months from now where Bobby Lashley is on the food chain. I expect him to ultimately be in a similar position that Seth Rollins is now. The only difference is Bobby Lashley's not going to go on TV and go, ha, 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 ha. You know, Bobby Lashley will be okay. In my opinion, I think he'll be okay. Steve, with another two spot, what happened to LA Knight at WrestleMania? Listen, when Kevin and I do our recap Tuesday night, that is one of my complaints. I can't believe they couldn't find something, but if you haven't noticed, the more LA Knight is not used in the way people want him to be used, the more popular he is getting. I know that sounds ridiculous and nutty. Prove me wrong. He is lost over and over again to Bray Wyatt before Bray went back home. And LA Knight just got bigger and bigger pops. You watch those house show footages, the camera footage, and you're like, holy shit, LA Knight is over huge. Fans see they have chosen LA Knight to be a WWE megastar. And when they see him losing more than he should be, that just gets people more and more behind them. I'm telling you, give it some time. LA Knight will be fine. Believe me, LA Knight, he's got it. He's got it. So, yes, I am very annoyed that he did not get a spot at WrestleMania, but in the end, it's going to help him because the WWE Universe is frustrated too, and they're going to even more of a reason to get behind. I'm telling you, he's going to be interesting. I wonder if WWE is going to turn him full-fledged babyface. You know, I don't know if that's the right way to go, but they are not going to have it. Listen, if LA Knight gets even bigger pops from the crowd, LA Knight cannot start really berating the fans, because you want LA Knight to go along with the fans. You don't have to be smiling and clear-cut babyface, but you don't want, you remember, who was it? Who is the person that was getting, oh, shit. Somebody was getting massive pops from the fans. And, oh, wait. Braun Strowman. Remember back then when Braun was feuding with Roman? Remember? He was feuding with Roman and Braun was getting over with the crowd. He was getting major pops. And then out of nowhere, for no reason, WWE had him cut a promo on Raw. And I remember it clear as day. Just like all of you, I hate Roman Reigns. Just like all of you, I hate Roman Reigns. And the fans are like, the fuck are you shitting on us for? We've been, like, getting behind you. And WWE forced the narrative that no, he's got to be a massive heel and Roman Reigns has got to be the babyface. And Braun shitted on the fans forcibly, and it didn't help. LA Knight will be fine. He will be fine. Kenifo, the five spot. Thank you, Ken. Cody losing killed the post-Raw WrestleMania crowd, or were they suffering from WrestleMania fatigue? I think it's combination. You know, I saw some people online like saying that the 160,000 number is bullshit because people attended both nights. I think that's one of the most ignorant, moronic, stupid things that people in the journalism world could say. And I'll give you a good example. You have tickets, season tickets, maybe not even season tickets. You got tickets to see a local baseball game, wherever you live, Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, wherever. And you got tickets for Saturday and you got tickets for Sunday. When they announce the attendance on Saturday and Sunday, and then they recap the weekend attendance, do they turn around and they have to, like, adjust the numbers because some people went twice? The fuck does that mean? I mean, if you went to both nights of WrestleMania, you paid for both nights of WrestleMania. If I go to a movie and I go Friday and it was such so amazing, I go back Saturday and it's so incredible, unbelievable, Super Mario, and I go back Sunday, I am considered three people attending. Not because I'm fat, but because I paid for three tickets. So when they announce 160,000 and people are like, no, people went twice. The fuck does that mean? If people went to two football games back-to-back, which doesn't happen in the NFL, but you see where I'm going with that. But yeah, I think it's a combination of both. I think it's frustration. Plus, there was a lot of dopamine being dropped yesterday. I mean, that emotional ride that everybody went on in that match, you know, it leaves you drained. Again, you know, I thought it was a beautiful ending if Cody finished the story. Until I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, oh, DT, you're a fucking idiot. This is Four Horsemen, Dusty Rhodes all over again. This is Flair Rhodes. He's playing Dusty to the T. He's got to fail, have bumps in the road. Things happen, lose his cool, get disqualified. The more that happens, the more fans are going to want it. It's LA Knight, not to that extreme level. So I think it's a combination of both. But thank you, Ken, for that. Appreciate it. M. Crew 78 with the 10 spot. Cody is like Rocky 1. He goes, gets to the championship and loses. Rocky 2, he makes his comeback and wins and becomes champ. Next Mania is in Philly, where Ricky is from. Well, Rocky is from. I think that's what you meant. Not Ricky Starks, but Rocky. Cody wins next year. I think that's way too long. Waiting a whole year for Cody, people are going to get tired. It's not going to be Bray Wyatt level, but when Bray is doing Uncle Howdy and the cue codes and the teasers and run, or you revel in your glory. Are you happy? Like, after a while, like, oh, fucking do the reveal already. Please. It's almost like if you can't please your significant other and you wait too long, or you can't like finish the job after a little while, and this is not from experience, but after a little while, like, could you just finish already? Like, nobody wants to wait a year for Cody. But the problem I have with the Rocky One scenario is Rocky was an unknown. Rocky was an extreme underdog. Rocky had no shot whatsoever. And Rocky, Apollo Creed did not take Rocky seriously. And Rocky took him to the limit. Didn't win, but took him to the limit. Cody Rhodes is not the same. I think the best comparison that I've ever made was Jungle Boy and Chris Jericho. When Chris Jericho was AEW heavyweight champion, that should have been the Rocky One storyline. When Jungle Boy faced him that time, Jungle Boy was 0-8 or 0-12. And people were complaining, why is he getting a title shot? What happened to the rankings? And what Jericho should have done was, you know, I'm going to give a nobody. I'm going to give an unknown. I'm going to give somebody an opportunity that they don't deserve. And Jungle Boy should have taken him to the limit. Lose, but take him to the limit. They didn't do that. Maybe if they give me a little bit of appreciation once in a while, I could give them some good ideas. I'm saying that jokingly. But that's the problem I have with the Rocky idea with Cody. But yeah, they're going to be in Philly next year. But I think it's way too long to wait for Cody to win it. Cody's going to get it beforehand. It's either going to be Saudi or Summer. Saudi or Summer. And I think Saudi is a possibility. Remember when Paul Heyman cut that promo earlier tonight? I don't care if it's at Madison Square Garden. I don't care if it's SummerSlam. I don't care if it's Survivor Series. Never said King of the Ring of Saudi Arabia. I don't think it gets that deep. Long-term booking? No. I think it's just, you know, we'll see. But it's right now too soon for Cody to feud with Roman. Saudi Arabia is not for another 2 months. 7 weeks, I think. So they had to divert attention. Cody and Brock is the diversion. You know, people need to understand, too, Brock is not going to be wrestling all that much. You know, when you look at Brock Lesnar's wrestling career since 2004, it's like two pages. He doesn't have as many matches as you think. You might be shocked how few matches he's had in 19 years. But the thing is, you can't expect like Brock's going to like back and he's going to be fighting Cody and going on the house show. No, there's going to be like one match. And it's going to be milked. And who knows? Cody might be injured next week. They keep having him sell his midsection. He's probably going to be wrapped next week. He can't fight for a week or two, 3 weeks. So this is just to buy time. It's what it is. Thank you, M Crew, for the 10 spot. Much appreciated, my friend. Shout out to Theme Parks and Things with Johnny. Just wanted to say, he's not the Johnny he talks about. I'm not the Johnny that he talks about. Oh, no. I know what you mean. No. When I talk about Johnny, I mean, I usually say theme parks if I'm talking about you. But, yeah, no. If anybody misconstrues that online, believe me, it's definitely, I try. You know, the thing is that's why I don't like to shout out people by first names or just one name basis. Because there's a lot of people out there. If I'm like, hey, you know, Frank, what's your problem? And then I get like 5 emails like, you know, hey, what did I say? And I'm like, I don't know which Frank you are, you know, so, but no. If I shout out Johnny, I'd shout him out as theme parks. But thank you for the 2 spot, even though you're clarifying. E7, Guero 316 with the 3 spot, the super sticker. I know for some reason super stickers don't pop up, but that doesn't mean I can't shout you out and thank you very much for the 3 spot, my friend. Much appreciated. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. You know, I want to plug a friend of mine who has an eBay page that you might be interested in. I'll mention him in a second. But before I do that, we got one more super shout out, and that's from Kevin Milwaukee. He can't be the only one who thought that KSI in the blue prime costume was R-Truth when Seth Rollins revealed his face. It would have been funny. The thing is, though, is I think a lot of us out there have watched a lot of the plugs that Logan Paul has done on social media over the last 6 weeks about his Prime energy drink. If you didn't pay attention, listen, because there were some people yesterday like, what the fuck is he coming out with a bottle? Like, people didn't understand that this is Logan Paul's brand. So if you knew about Logan Paul and his Prime energy drink, you pretty much knew KSI, you know, is part of it. I'll be honest with you. I thought it was going to be Jake Paul under the outfit. I thought his brother was going to show up and he was going to interfere in the match, reveal that it was Jake Paul, and then we might have seen something stupid where he was laid out while in the costume. When he revealed, you know, I didn't think it was R-Truth, but again, those that are not familiar with the energy drink and KSI's involvement with it, yeah, I totally get why people thought it was R-Truth. Absolutely. I saw a lot of people mentioning R-Truth yesterday when they first saw it. For a split second, they thought it was R-Truth. Definitely good pick. And believe me when I tell you, I don't want any wise-ass to be like, well, why do you got to choose a black person? Because there's a lot of idiots that do that. Like, if you say, you know, the Street Profits kind of remind me of Crime Time. And people are like, oh, why, because they're black? Like, just shut up. I mean, the characters, the gimmick is similar. It's not always just straight up about skin color. You know, you look at somebody's face. Hell, like I said earlier, some people thought that this was me. They think that was me. So, I don't follow the Prime shit. I don't follow KSI. You know, they do have like hundreds of millions of followers or tens of millions of followers. So, you know, you realize with Logan Paul's social media footprint, Bad Bunny's influence. I mean, I never heard of Bad Bunny until he got involved with WWE. Now I see like how many people follow him and how many people download his music, and I'm just like blown away by it. I mean, and I'm not even saying that to criticize him. I'm amazed. I think it was Fightful that tweeted tonight and said WWE should be very, very lucky that Bad Bunny is this much of a wrestling fan. And I agree. I mean, the amount of free advertising. I mean, Bad Bunny gets a little something from WWE, but the amount of free advertising just for doing a spot because he loves wrestling, it's an interesting time. It's an interesting time to see WWE in this spot. So, E7, Guerrero316, asking, do I think with the merger we go back to $50 pay-per-views and not subscriptions by Peacock, with Peacock? Here's my answer to that. UFC charges pay-per-view. If Peacock does not up their deal upon renewal, WWE absolutely could go back to pay-per-view prices. People need to be very, very careful, you know, when they try to push this narrative, Bobby Lashley was not used at WrestleMania. Unsubscribe from Peacock. Yeah, there's a lot of goofs that do that. Jay White did not debut at WrestleMania. Unsubscribed. Randy Orton did not appear. Unsubscribed. LA Knight did not appear. Unsubscribed. Cody Rhodes didn't win the title. Unsubscribed. You know, when you only have to pay $5 a month, you know, people get very, very lazy, you know, with their complaints. You know, you get something for free or almost for free. You know, who the fuck are you? And I'm not trying to be an asshole, but who the fuck are you? You pay $5 a month or $1.99 a month, and you're acting like you're mortgaging your house to invest in WWE. You got WrestleMania for under $10, and those matches were not good enough? No Randy Orton. No Bobby Lashley match. No LA Knight. John Cena's match sucked. What about Fangul? You paid fucking what? $4.99 with ads and you're complaining? You know, that's a little ridiculous. Now, they go back to $50 pay-per-views and $60 pay-per-views. And trust me, I think WrestleMania would be $75 and they might do a two-night deal for like $89.99 or maybe $99.99. Trust me, then people have every right to bitch. I paid fucking $100 for this shit. You best damn believe I'm going to bitch. You know, you walk into a supermarket and like, hey, we got these, you know, this cheese on sale for $1.99 a pound. And you pay it, it's regularly $60. You get it for $1.99. You buy it, eat it. You're like, oh, this is fucking awful. You go on Amazon hey, look, I got this battery charger. It's everywhere you buy it. It's $49.99. I got it for $3. And you plug it in, and you could charge your phone for like 45 seconds. I throw it in the garbage. I'm like, hey, you know what? You get what you pay for. I don't fucking start this petition. You're going to pay $3 for this shit. And people make it, like, get so butthurt about this stuff. You know, when they go back to $60, $70 pay-per-views, let's see. Let's see how you react. So I think people are a little bit too hard. I think they forget that they pay so little amount of money. I hope WWE does not go back to pay-per-views because I certainly don't want to pay $50, $60 a month. So believe me when I tell you, you know, trying to be this renegade, like I unsubscribed, you know, believe me, if enough people unsubscribe or Peacock feels like they're not getting their money's worth and they're like, eh, you know, we don't want to do the deal. If the WWE network returns in the United States and it doesn't get the revenue that Endeavor wants, they could go back to pay-per-view. UFC still charges pay-per-view. So you, especially if you're a UFC fan, imagine having a double dip because I don't know if you're aware of this. There's going to be more WWE events in the future. Once this all irons out, you're going to see a couple of extra premium live events added. So imagine if they start charging pay-per-view prices for UFC and WWE. Now you're like, hey, that's my cell phone bill, you know, every month that I'm paying for. So, oh, Charlotte. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Oh, Charlotte. That match was fucking off the hook, man. Loved it. Loved it. All right. I want to just plug a friend. He is a very long-time Patreon. Him and his son have a little eBay business, and I'm going to show you a little live screenshot of it. Let me pull this up here. He's on eBay, and it is J&A's Treasures and Goods. They sell a lot of, like, you know, like used games, toys, and stuff. But if you look at these prices, you really can't go wrong. I mean, there's a lot of video games, stuffed animals, Beanie Babies, Air Jordans. I mean, they got, like, you know, like, if you, some of this stuff, $5, $4, yeah, you got $20, $30 here and there. But you look at some of this stuff over here, believe it or not. Oh, shit. Here. I'm going to blow your mind right now. It's not really, but all right, go check that out. You see that Mickey Mouse there? This was not planned. But you see that Mickey Mouse? You know, here, look. No, this was not planned. My wife bought these on our honeymoon. And then she once in a while looks at my live stream. She's like, how come you don't put them in the background? I'm like, they're not wrestlers. So, yeah, so go check out their page on eBay. That is the link on top. eBay.com, J&S Treasures and Goods, video games, sports cards, memorabilia, cloths, and more. Father and son, business, but even better, supporter of what we do. So go check it out. I'm going to actually go check it out. I might buy a couple of toys just to give it to my wife's dogs. She's got Yorkies. So as long as they don't smell like shit, I'll just say, hey, look, I bought these toys. So, all right. We went over 2 hours. I am tired. I know you are tired. But I absolutely loved talking about what we talked about tonight. I think everything we talked about, we nailed it. Loved all your feedback. Love your questions, your super chats. And, you know, yeah, I'll be on vacation, so there'll be no show Saturday or Sunday. But I think we definitely made up for it tonight. And look, we're just beginning. Because as I said earlier, tomorrow, Kevin and I will be doing a full review. Now, look, we will definitely keep it tight as far as the discussion. We will make sure that anything we talk about is going to be very to the point. And we have a lot to talk about, you know, overall, but we're definitely going to just focus on the very important aspects of yesterday. We'll talk about, you know, what we liked and disliked. We'll talk about where we think certain things are going to go. I think the Trish Stratus stuff that we talked about last week, I think that is still way on point. It's going to be interesting to see where they go with Omos. At this point, And we got a lot of other things to talk about. And a little bit of what we talked about tonight with Raw, we'll get into in some particulars. And then Wednesday, we have Wednesday Night Dynamite. We'll quickly recap NXT and Dynamite Wednesday. And we'll talk about the Grizzled Young Veterans, you know, the two members of the Schism that exited WWE release. I should have all the information by Wednesday. And there's a couple other news rumors floating around that I have to verify that we could put up as well. And then I will say one thing in closing. As far as Bron Breakker not debuting or Roxanne Perez or anybody else tonight, first of all, we got SmackDown Friday. Something is planned for SmackDown on Friday involving an NXT star. I don't want to say who it is because I don't want to be wrong, but somebody is supposed to show up on Friday. But, you know, we got SmackDown to still to go down. And it doesn't – remember what I said on the Stand and Deliver recap? Remember when I said that just because somebody's going to the main roster doesn't mean they don't show up on NXT Tuesday. Bron Breakker could absolutely show up on Tuesday. Roxanne Perez could show up on Tuesday. There's a few other people that could show up on Tuesday. That doesn't mean if somebody shows up on Tuesday that they're not going to the main roster. You know, it doesn't have to happen the Raw or the SmackDown after Mania. It could happen 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, a month from now. There's no, you know, time expiration on it. So just because we want it to happen at a certain time doesn't mean it has to happen that way. So see what happens. But if you enjoyed tonight's show, you know what to do. If you know anyone else out there that might like the channel, let them be aware of it. You know, I am very, very happy that Kevin and I are doing some shows again. When the next DTKC show happens after the Mania recap, you know, we'll see. You know, we don't want to make people get used to every single week because that's not going to happen. For my Patreon family, next week we'll go back to the regular VI Patreon episodes. You know, 2 weeks for WrestleMania. You know, I don't think anybody complained about it. Also, for those who are part of the predictions contest, I already got the winner for the Patreon contest. So you could go to dontony.com, type in that password, and you could see I wrote winner. I'll make it official Tuesday night. On the YouTube side for the channel members, I will go over the entries tomorrow. So we should have the winner posted by Wednesday. And I want to thank everybody. And as we go off the air, Nero Fay sneaking in a sixth spot, and it's very much appreciated, Nero. He is tuning in right now all the way from the country of Israel, and he wanted to wish everyone a happy Passover to the Jewish community. And absolutely. I mean, we're now into Passover, into Easter. I will be away for Easter, which kind of like, you know, breaks my heart that I'm not spending it with my family, but my parents have to go to Florida this weekend. Business. So it worked out good, but I will be away from Thursday night until Monday evening. But I'll be back here next Monday night in time for Raw. And definitely send your feedback, comments. I'm reading it all. And I absolutely would love your feedback about what we talked about earlier with the Horseman and Dusty and all that. And then don't forget, next week, we will do that contest, the giveaway. Matt Riddle hat, Matt Riddle autographed rookie card, Matt Riddle photo. Somebody's going to win all three. I have a week to think about what the contest will be, but you have to be live to be a part of it. I think it's only fair. Very, very hard to do. Maybe we will do it in the comment section. I don't know. I have a week to think about it. So, but much love, everyone. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. If you're part of our Patreon family, you're welcome to join us live tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We'll record the WrestleMania recap and then some. If you're not part of our Patreon family, don't worry. By midnight, 12:30, late Tuesday night, we will have the episode online for everyone. So you will have access to it. And yeah, that's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to that. So, and yeah, I think I'm out of here. Much love, everyone. Be well, stay safe, and you all be well. I think I said that twice. Can I buy a U? Can I buy a U?
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.